My friend, you're here because you want English skills that help you connect with people on a deeper level. So join the free accent training community on school.com today and get some momentum going with your American accent development. Open the link in the description and request to join the free accent training community while spots are available, my friend. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Accent Training Podcast. This is episode 200. We've made it, folks. You and your accent coach, Pat, have made it 200 episodes in. It is such a pleasure to be working together with you, my friend, and seeing your advancement. It's a real honor. Now, as a gift for you for episode number 200, I'm going to teach you a lesson that I've learned from an extremely valuable, extremely powerful book, Robert Greene's The 48 Laws of Power. I'm going to tell you two stories that come from this book. The first story is a story of failed communication and a loss of power. The second story is a story of successful communication and gaining power. I want you to learn from both of these so that you know what not to do that's going to lose you power or influence and pull you further away from your goals. And I want you to know what to do that's going to bring you towards those goals. So law number 4 of the 48 Laws of Power and Robert Greene's communication advice. Always say less than necessary. That's right. Always say less than necessary. Do you ever find yourself looking for the perfect word to say in English, and you think too hard and you just keep talking and talking and talking without actually getting to the point? Well, according to Robert Greene, when you're trying to impress people with your words, the more you say, the more common you appear, and less in control. Even if you're just sharing everyday information, it will seem original if you make it vague, open-ended, and sphinx-like. Powerful people impress and intimidate by saying less. The more you say, the more likely you are to say something foolish. Powerful lesson. Can you imagine what life would be like in work if you could just cut the amount of words that you say in half and have people understand you and respect you more? Well, listen closely, and I'm going to read for you a story about ancient Rome and how one of its greatest military heroes rose in power and crashed down because he couldn't control the words coming out of his mouth. Gnaeus Marcius, also known as Coriolanus, was a great military hero of ancient Rome, saving the city from certain disaster time and time again. Because he spent most of his time on the battlefield, nobody actually knew who he was, making him a bit of a legendary figure. Eventually, Coriolanus decided it was time to exploit his reputation and enter politics. He stood for election for the high rank of consul. Candidates for this position traditionally made a public address early in the race. And when Coriolanus came before the people, he simply began demonstrating the dozens of scars that he had earned over 17 years fighting for Rome. Few in the crowd really heard the lengthy speech that followed. Those scars, proof of his valor and patriotism, moved the people to tears. There was no doubt he was winning this election. When the polling day arrived, Coriolanus made an entry into the forum, escorted by the entire Senate and by the city's patricians, the aristocracy. The common people who saw this were disturbed by such a blustering show of confidence on election day. And when Coriolanus spoke again, mostly addressing the wealthy citizens who had accompanied him, his words were arrogant and insolent. Certain that this election was in the bag, he boasted of his battlefield exploits, made sour jokes that appealed only to the patricians, voiced angry accusations against his opponents, and speculated on the riches he would bring to Rome. This time, the people listened. Now they noticed that this war hero was really just in love with himself. News of Coriolanus's second speech spread quickly through Rome, and the people turned out in great numbers to make sure he was not elected. Defeated, Coriolanus returned to the battlefield, bitter and vowing revenge on the people of Rome who had turned against him. Some weeks later, a large shipment of grain arrived in Rome. The Senate was ready to distribute this food to the people, for free. But just as they were preparing to vote upon the question, Coriolanus appeared on the scene and took the Senate floor. The distribution, he argued, would have a harmful effect on the city as a whole. Several senators were convinced, and the vote on the distribution fell into doubt. Now, Coriolanus did not stop there. He went on to speak against democracy itself. He advocated getting rid of the people's representatives, the tribunes, turning over the governing of the city to the patricians. When word of Coriolanus's speech reached the people, their anger knew no bounds. The local leaders were sent to the Senate to demand that Coriolanus came to speak with them. He refused. Riots broke out all over the city. The Senate, fearing the people's wrath, finally voted in favor of the grain distribution. The tribunes were appeased, but the people still demanded that Coriolanus speak to them and apologize. If he repented and agreed to keep his opinions to himself, he would be allowed to return to the battlefield. Coriolanus did appear one last time before the people, who listened to him in rapt silence. He started slowly and softly, but as the speech went on, he became more blunt. Yet again, he hurled insults. His tone was arrogant, his expression disdainful. The more he spoke, the angrier the people became. Finally, they shouted him down and silenced him. The local leaders once again had a meeting, condemned Coriolanus to death, and ordered the magistrates to take him at once to the top of the Tarpeian Rock and throw him over. The delighted crowd seconded the decision. The patricians, however, managed to intervene, and the sentence was commuted to a lifelong banishment. When the people found out that Rome's great military hero would never return to the city, they celebrated in the streets. In fact, no one had ever even seen such a celebration. Not even after a major victory over a foreign enemy. Now, what does this story tell us about communication? It means if you say too much, you're more likely to look like a common fool than some sort of expert. And people are less likely to appreciate your words. Now, this Coriolanus fellow here, great military leader that he was, hero of Rome, was banished from the city because not only could he not stop talking, but the words he was saying weren't even connecting with his audience. He's just talking to his rich friends, his politicians' friends. He wasn't even addressing the regular, everyday people. If he had cut those speeches in half, made a couple of references to the aristocracy, but typically talked about the problems that everyday people were going through, and then stepped away. He would not have been run out of Rome. He would have actually had an extremely successful career, considering the influence that he had. But instead, they kicked him out of the city, disgraced his name, and, well, the story doesn't say what happened to him next. In the words of Robert Greene, "The human tongue is a beast that few can master. It strains constantly to break out of its cage, and if not tamed, it will run wild and cause you grief." Listen to the wise words of Robert Greene. Control your tongue and protect your power. So now that you know what not to do, let's take a look at what happens if you do things correctly, if you control your tongue. In the court of Louis XIV, nobles and ministers would spend days and nights debating issues of state. They would confer, argue, make and break alliances, and argue again, until finally, two of them would be chosen to represent different sides to Louis himself. Louis would then decide what should be done. After these persons were chosen, everyone would argue some more. What words would appeal to Louis the most? What would annoy Louis? What time of day should they approach Louis at? Where would be the best place to hold the meeting? Finally, after all this was settled, two men would approach Louis, always a delicate matter. And when they finally had his ear, they would talk about the issue at hand, spelling out the options in detail. Louis would listen in silence, a most enigmatic look on his face. Finally, when each had finished his presentation and had asked for the king's opinion, he would look at them both and say, "I shall see." Then he would walk away. The ministers and courtiers would never hear another word on the subject from the king, and they would simply see the results, weeks later, when he would come to a decision and act. He would never bother to consult them on the matter again. What can we learn from Louis here? Well, Louis XIV was a man of very few words. His most famous remark was, "L'État, c'est moi." I am the state. Nothing could be more powerful, yet so eloquent. His infamous, "I shall see," was one of several extremely short phrases that he would apply to all manner of requests. Louis was not always this way. As a young man, he was known for talking at length, delighting in his own eloquence. His later taciturnity was self-imposed, an act, a mask he used to keep everyone below him off balance. No one knew exactly where the king stood or could predict his reactions. No one could try to deceive him by saying what they thought he wanted to hear, because no one knew what he wanted to hear. As they talked on and on to the silent Louis, they revealed more about themselves, information he would later use against them to great effect. In the end, Louis's silence kept those around him terrified and under his thumb. It was one of the foundations of his power. As Saint Simon wrote, "No one knew as well as he how to sell his words, his smile, even his glances. Everything in him was valuable because he created differences, and his majesty was enhanced by the sparseness of his words." A powerful lesson, my friend, an absolutely powerful lesson from Robert Greene's book, The 48 Laws of Power. As I said, a lot of that was a direct reading. I'm not claiming that I made up these ideas myself. In fact, I'm happy that I didn't make up these ideas myself, because it's a lot quicker to just read someone else's ideas and apply them than it is to try to make up your own, you know, world-changing ideas. And so for episode 200 of the Accent Training Podcast, I wanted to give you this fantastic gift of knowledge. Probably one of my favorite laws out of this book that I apply many times a day. Like, I'll be writing a long message, you know, explaining something to somebody, my dad, my wife, a friend, and I read over the message or the email, and I think I could cut about half of this out and still have my point get across. And so I erase the whole thing. I just write a couple quick phrases, send that, and you know what? Not only have I not been having terrible things happen to me, as a matter of fact, I'd say that my ability to communicate and be understood in English and in Spanish are at an all-time high. And I want you to have these same communication results, my friend. And so always say less than necessary. And I'd just like to end this episode by saying thank you to the author of the book, Robert Greene, the author of The 48 Laws of Power. I highly recommend that you check it out if you want some hard-hitting skills for dealing with society. If you are a human and you're dealing with other humans, this is the book for you. The 48 Laws of Power. Well, I'm going to wrap this one up for today. Thank you for dedicating a little bit of time from your day to learning a new communication skill. And if there's somebody that you love out there who you want to see successfully grow their power and communicate on a deeper level with American English speakers, send them this episode, my friend. This episode is my gift to the world to share opportunity with hardworking people like yourself who are ready to take on the opportunities that will come as a result of this new communication skill. Now get out there and practice your English communication, my friend. Have a good one. I'm opening my doors of enrollment for the month of May. I've got 5 accent training spots available for 5 accent learners who want to see predictable progress learning to communicate in English with the same habits, the same patterns, and the same sounds that Americans use naturally. I've got limited space available this month, my friend. So apply right now through the link in the description if it's important for you to learn to speak English in the way that Americans listen for.